Wonderful to see everybody out again tonight. We are encouraged by all who have the desire to come out and study God's Word as the opportunity is given to us, and of course to keep God's commandments, grow with one another as we have the opportunity to do so. It's just a blessing and encouragement to always gather together with others who have the desire, the will to study God's Word, and to put God first, to truly trust in God. And as we gather together with our brother and sisters in Christ, as we gather together this evening, that we're here able to proclaim His Word, able to sing these hymns, and we have the hope and faith that we're not going to be judged by our faith at this time and point as we gather together. That we speak even as we gather this morning, as we come together during Bible class and on Wednesday nights to gather together our Bible class, that we're able to speak up and ask questions. And if we have different opinions, as we're talking about a little bit in our Bible class and our different personalities, that we can go forth and still continue to work with one another. But as we live our lives upon this world, there are so many who get caught up that we shouldn't be judging each other at all. And that we shouldn't be, to an extent, of looking at that person saying they're wrong for their actions, and that we don't need to judge at all. And that's what I want to talk about this evening, is about judging one another. Judging one another. Open up our Bibles and see what it is the Word of God has to say about judging one another. Whether or not it's something we should or should not do. And how it is we go about it. Because many get caught up and they like to use Matthew chapter 7 and verse 1 and start there and simply say that we're not to judge at all. And if you will, go ahead and open your Bibles there. We're going to be reading that passage. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 1 says, "Judge not that you be not judged. Judge not that you be not judged," and they will stop there. And that's all they will read. They won't read further on to put it in context. They won't open up the rest of the scriptures to see what it is God has to say about the rest of whether or not we're supposed to be judging one another. They simply say, look, it says, "Judge not, lest you be judged." But when you read this passage, and you read it throughout at least verse 6, you see it gets into more than just not judging one another, but the mindset of what is taking place when they are judging each other. And to the extent that here they're being hypocritical in their judgment. And if we are going to be hypocrites in our judging, then we should not be judging in that manner. I can't go forth and tell everybody here that they need to do something and then myself not do it. Or go forth and tell everybody that they can't do certain things, but then I myself go forth and do those things. Being here. That's what Matthew 7 is talking about here in these first few verses. Matthew chapter 7, starting in verse 1 again. It says, "Judge not that you be not judged. For with what judgment you judge, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not consider the plank in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, 'Let me remove the speck from your eye,' and look at the plank in your own eye? Hypocrite. First remove the plank from your own eye, and you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Do not give what is holy to the dogs, nor cast your pearls before the swine, lest they trample under them their feet and turn and tear you in pieces." As you read these first five verses, you look and see that it's not necessarily that we don't just judge, but we fix our problem first, so we can see clearly. Because that's what verse 5 is. It comes out to the point, make sure we remove the sin that's in us, the plank that is in your eye, before you go and try to remove a little speck in your brother's. It doesn't say that we're not supposed to help our brother get out of that sin. It doesn't say that we're not supposed to be helping one another and looking to see if we see that they are doing wrong to help them turn away from it. But it's making sure that we are following by the same judgment that we have set for us. Making sure that we look and examine ourselves and put God first and make sure that we are doing what is needed to be done. In John chapter 8, verse 7. John chapter 8 and in verse 7. John 8, 7 says here, as the Jews have come together, the Pharisees have come together, and they come up to Jesus, and once again they try to trick him, they try to cause him to stumble. And they set the woman in front of him and telling him what needs to be done according to the law of Moses, and they're waiting to see if they can cause Jesus to stumble. And of course, Jesus' point here in verse 7, he says, So when they continued asking him, he raised himself up and said to them, he who is without sin among you, let him throw a stone at her. Once again, it gets back to that point of view of making sure that we examine our own life. That we take care of my sin before I go forth and take care of everybody else's. Otherwise, we're being hypocrites in our judgment. Going around as the two men have went in and prayed, the example of the two who went in, and the one starting off by praying and simply saying, at least I'm not this guy over here. At least I'm not this sinner, this loser over here. And he just simply points out that I'm not as bad as this. But if we go in with that attitude, we are not doing it righteously. We don't okay ourselves by looking at everybody else's sin. We become righteous or holy or washed when we are obeyed, when we obey the Lord God. When we go to Christ and have our sins washed, when we are baptized, when we repent and pray to God for forgiveness, that is when we are justified. That is when we are sanctified. That's when we are cleansed. Not when we go forth and point out that everybody else is sinful. We need to realize that yes, we have all sinned. In 1 John 1:8, here it tells us, if we claim to have no sin, if we claim that we have not sinned, make our Lord and Savior a liar. We make the truth not true. 1 John 1 and in verse 8 says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar and His word is not in us. So the truth is not in us. Christ is not in us. We claim not to have sinned. We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But we have to practice what we preach. We have to make sure that we walk by the same standard of what we are judged by. In Romans chapter 2. In Romans chapter 2, turn along from there, and reading in verse 21. Romans 2 and verse 21 says, you therefore who teach another, do you not teach yourself? You who preach that a man should not steal, do you steal? You who say, do not commit adultery, do you commit adultery? You who abhor idols, do you rob temples? You who make your boast in the law, do you dishonor God through breaking the law? For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you, as it is. As he writes to the Romans here, he writes to the church here, he kind of brings out this point that the Gentiles are continuing to sin because of your actions. Because of what you are doing, because they see the example that you have set. You say don't do these things, but then you go out and you do them. You judge one another, it must be a righteous judgment. John 7 and verse 20. John 7 and verse 24. So once again, as I brought out, when people say, don't judge me, they'll look at one verse and they'll say, judge not lest you be judged. They don't want to look at any other verses. John 7, 24 says, do not judge according to appearance, but judge with a righteous judgment. we're allowed to have. Now understand, we're not the condemners. We don't go forth and condemn anyone to heaven. We're not the one to reward either. We're not to say, well, that is a righteous man there. I know he's going to receive a crown of life. I don't have that power. I don't know that person's heart. I don't know the secrets that go on in his own house. Therefore, I cannot condemn one, and I cannot reward another. A simple judgment that we have amongst one another is simply looking at each other and having that opinion of certain things and looking, we're to have a righteous judgment. So that's going to be the focus of the remaining of the lesson this evening, is looking to see what is a righteous judgment. What is it that we are to look at as a righteous judgment? Well, righteous judgment has a righteous standard. Righteous judgment has a righteous standard. In John chapter 12 and verse 48. John chapter 12 and verse 48. Here it reads, he who rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judges him. The word that I have spoken will judge him in the last day. Here it makes it plain and clear what we will be judged by in the end of time. And we know that Jesus will be a righteous judge, that Jesus will be a just judge. Therefore, if we are judging one another by his word, we are judging by a righteous standard. If we have book, chapter, and verse to back up when we come and confront somebody about sin, about teaching something wrong, about their opinion, that this goes, and we show them what the Word of God has to say, that is a righteous standard. The Word of God. Not the commandments of men. You look at Matthew 15, verses 1 through 9. Matthew 15, as it is made clear, as Jesus is approaching the scribes and Pharisees here, and to point out where they have gone wrong. He makes it clear that they are not judging righteousness. That they are not teaching righteousness. Therefore, if they're not teaching righteously, they're not using the Word of God, the old law, even at that time and point. They weren't using it correctly. Therefore, it wasn't a righteous thing. It says there in verse 1, it says, then the scribes and Pharisees who were from Jerusalem came to Jesus saying, why do your disciples transgress the tradition of elders? For they do not wash their hands when they eat bread. He answered and said to them, why do you also transgress the commandment of God? Because of your tradition. For God commanded, saying, honor your father and mother, and he who curses his father or mother, let him be put to death. But you say, whoever says his father or mother, whatsoever profit you might have received from me is a gift of God, that he need not to honor his father or mother. Thus you have made the commandment of God no effect by your tradition. Hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy about you, saying, these people draw near to me with their mouth, honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me, and in vain they worship me, teaching the doctrines, the commandments of men. We are judging one another according to the commandments and opinions of the preacher. The commandments and the opinions of the people. Of the most popular decision among the world. It's not a righteous judgment just because most people believe. It's not a righteous judgment just because most people are doing. It's a righteous judgment when it comes from the Word of God, not from the commandments. Again, Colossians 2 and verse 13. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 13. Colossians 2, starting there in verse 13. As it goes forth and says, and you being dead in your trespasses, and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Having wiped out the handwriting of the requirements. Here, having wiped out the old law, the law of Moses, that was against us, which was contrary to us, he has taken it out of the way, have nailed it to the cross, having disarmed the principalities and powers, have made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it, So let no one judge you in food or in drink or in guarding a festival or a new moon or Sabbath, which are shadow of things to come, but the substance is of Christ. Judging one another according to His word, according to His life, that is the righteous judge. That is a righteous judge. Not looking at, well, they don't eat this certain thing, and that probably means they're not that good. Well, they don't dress as good, so therefore they're probably not that good of a person. Well, they come from that side of town, or they come from that country, so they're probably not that good. That is not a righteous judgment. Righteous judgment comes from looking through His word and looking at their actions, truly knowing. Judgment comes from righteous motives. The reason for judging one another. We're judging one another because of the glory of ourselves or the sake of you doing better, then it's not a righteous judgment. In Matthew chapter 6, and starting there in verse 1, take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds before men, to be seen by them. Otherwise, you have no reward from your Father in heaven. Therefore, when you do a charitable deed, do not sound a trumpet as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory for men. Surely I say to you, they have their reward. As he goes further on, he says, don't let your right hand know what. Don't let your right hand know what the left hand. As we look at it, it's not just to be glorified. As Philippians 1, verses 15 through 17, once again, it's on the point of not doing it for selfishness. We're not judging others to make oneself look better. Putting other people on the spot so that no one's focused on you. We're going forth and reading, you might be judging correctly, looking at the scriptures and saying, look here, it says this is, and that's what you're doing, and that's obviously wrong, but are you doing it with a good heart? Are you doing it for the right reasons? Are you doing it to make yourself look small? Are you doing it so that you can put that person in its spot, and you can show that you are wiser, that you are better? That's the reason. It is not a righteous judgment. It is not for the right reasons. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And all the actions that Paul takes, he makes the point that if we don't do any of these things with love, then it profits not. I believe we can apply our judgment or righteousness of teaching others, trying to bring them to God. If we don't do it with love, it profits not. 1 Corinthians 13 verse 1 says, though I speak with tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass and clanging cymbals. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understanding of mysteries and knowledge of, and though I have all faith so that I could move mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my good to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me. As we go forth, if we are truly showing people that they're doing wrong, but we don't have love on our side, we're doing out of hatred. If we don't have love on our side, we go forth and just throw out Bible verses so that people think you're smart because you can quote some scriptures. Have not love, it doesn't work. When we judge one another, we have to have love. When we judge one another, we can't do it for our own good. We continue to look at a righteous judgment, we're not to have partiality. We can't change our judgment for yourself. You can't change your judgment because of your spouse. You can't change your judgment because of your children, because of your friends, because of your parents. Once we see the Word of God, we see the righteous standard, it is set in stone. We cannot change it for those who we love and care for. The righteous judgment is righteous for all. John 1 and in verse 46. brings out here. It says, and Nathanael said to him, can anything good come out of Nazareth? Philip said to him, so once they heard about Jesus, and they heard where he was from, that was the first question that came to his mind. Can anything come good from there? That wasn't a righteous judgment. It simply, well, that's too small a place for anyone to come out of there. But what good could a person, what knowledge could a person have? How could they possibly be any good from that place? That's not given an equal opportunity. That's not a righteous judgment. Exodus 23 and verse 8, as they were appointing those to make judgment of those who were doing certain things, when contradictions came among the brethren of Israel, here was one of the points that Moses had to give them. In Exodus 23 and in verse 8, it says, and you shall take no bribe, for a bribe blinds the discerning and perverts the word of the righteousness. When one chooses money or a bribe or anything to persuade them on one side or the other, that's not a righteous judgment. You're no longer looking at the situation and saying, well, this person technically has a fair point, but this person paid me more, so I'm going to judge on his side. It's not a righteous judgment. Showing no partiality. As Peter came to the conclusion when the Holy Spirit had come upon the house of Cornelius, when the Holy Spirit had come upon the house of the Gentiles, Cornelius had been a Gentile in his household. This is what he said here in Acts 10 and verse 34. Acts 10, verse 34, he says, then Peter opened his mouth and said, I, in truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality. But in every nation, whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him. It doesn't matter what language we speak. It doesn't matter what color skin we have. It doesn't matter where you're from. As long as you trust in God, as long as you fear God, as long as you love God, as long as you believe that Jesus is the way to salvation, you can be saved. Having no partiality when we judge God. Righteous standing. Another point to bring out is be merciful when we're going forth and judging. As we bring that point out, as we judge one another, we're looking to say maybe that's a sin, and why are we pointing that out? It's so that we can forgive them. In Matthew 5 and verse 7, Matthew chapter 5 and in verse 7, it says, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the merciful. You look at the example in Matthew chapter 18 and in verse 15, when it goes into instructing us how to have church discipline when a brother sins against you. In Matthew 18, verse 15, it says, moreover, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he hears you, you have gained your brother. That should be the goal when we see something wrong and we approach him. It shouldn't be just to put him in the spot. It shouldn't be to make yourself look better. It shouldn't be to hurt others. It should be gain a brother back. It's brought out in 2 Thessalonians when they withdraw from one. It says, but admonish him as a brother. Continue to show love to that person in the hope that you bring them back. That is the whole key point. That hopefully they see the word of God, that they become ashamed of their actions, and that they repent and pray for forgiveness. That way they still have a home in heaven. That way we all still have a home in heaven. That way when that day comes and the Lord returns, that he will receive that person up as they receive us. We judge one another, it has to be a righteous judgment. It has to be according to his commandments. According to his standard that he has set. Not according to your opinion or my opinion, but according to Jesus' word. We want to extend the Lord's invitation this evening to any who desire to obey the gospel, to any who knows the righteous standard, the standard of the Word of God that tells us that if we do not believe, we cannot please our Lord and Savior. If we have not repented, we will die in our sins. If we are not baptized into Christ, our sins have not been washed away. So if you need to be baptized, if you need to repent of your sins, and you want to call on the name of the Lord tonight, we want to encourage tonight to come forward as we stand.
Thank you.